Hello again. We move now to the latest on government formation, and two of our guests this weekend are on the negotiating teams for their respective political parties. James Lawless, you're on the Fianna Fáil team that's meeting potential coalition partners, and John Paul O'Shea, you're on the Fine Gael team, and we're joined also still by Rose Conway-Walsh of Sinn Féin, and we have here with us now Ray Kavanagh, who's a former General Secretary of the Labour Party. We did ask for a TD, but none was available, and we've also put out feelers for independence. We did have one on the programme last week as well. We're in contact with them. But James Lawless, remind us who you've been talking to so far and who's still a live prospect as a coalition partner for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, assuming they will be the main ingredients of the next government.
Yeah, well, look, we've started talks with Fine Gael. They're going reasonably well. And look, it's early days. We're only a few days in, but we're exploring common areas of policy, working through different strands at the moment. And those talks are up and running. I was in them all day yesterday. We'll be again on Monday. I understand at leader level, there have been discussions with Labour, Social Democrats and Independents as well. I suppose I'm in maybe the more detailed strand in terms of the policy detail. And those talks have commenced, as I say, at that level with Fine Gael. I'm curious, I suppose, to see where the other parties stand at the moment. There's been some mixed messages. I know Labour were in again, out again, in again, a bit like Flanagan's ball. Social Democrats were, I think, are still in. And look, I suppose really, my message to the different groupings would be, I suppose, you know, come to the table, bring your questions, bring your asks. We'll do the same. Let's explore the common ground and let's try and find a blueprint that will work for the Irish people for the next 5 years.
Right. Do you have a personal preference?
I think it would be unhelpful to express one if I did.
Okay. So when you meet with the have you met with the representatives of the independents? And if so, who have you met?
So I haven't personally, but I say the initial talks are occurring at leadership level. I suppose it's really when we get into. So the first thing you have to decide is, do you want to be part of this equation? And if parties or independents do want to be part of that equation, we then bring it down a level to say, well, let's look at the detail. So Fine Gael have put their hands up and said, yes, we'd like to be part of this team. That's fine. They're welcome. Therefore, we've moved ahead of policy talks. The other groupings haven't yet, I suppose, made that decision. I understand the independents have made quite positive noises and, you know, we're very keen to talk to them as well. But I suppose still awaiting Labour and Social Democrats' positions to see. You know, I did see a note. John Nash presented a note to us, I think it was on Thursday, outside of it. And actually, to my eyes, there's a lot of common ground there. A lot of things we're actually already doing anyway. So look, I'd be surprised if that's if there's any showstoppers there. But look, I suppose that they have to make up their mind first. Do they want to be part of the team? And if they do, we can certainly work forward on those issues together.
Right. The regional independents, the interlocutor is Michael Lowry. Are people entitled to be surprised that Micheál Martin is prepared to do business with a group involving Michael Lowry? He said that he was prepared to accept his support in the government of 2007 to 2011 on the basis of the Moriarty Tribunal report hadn't been published yet, but it was published in 2011. He was part of a motion that called for Deputy Lowry's resignation from the Dáil. He had some very strong words about Deputy Lowry's role in the awarding of a mobile phone contract in the Dáil following that. And then in 2016, he said Fianna Fáil not only wouldn't do business with him, but he wanted full details of what Fine Gael was doing in exchange for his support. And now all of a sudden, things have changed. What's changed?
Well, look, I suppose any individual or grouping that gets elected to the Dáil has a mandate from the people. And Michael Lowry, as I understand it, has been elected on, I think he's topped the poll on, is it a dozen occasions since the mid-80s? So no more or no less than anyone else, he's a right to be heard and right to have his voice heard and right to engage in negotiations. And ultimately, again, this goes back to policy far more than any one individual or any position or any post or any job. I mean, really, that's all.
What's
secondary.
Changed from a point in 2011 where Michael Lowry was elected as a poll topper and your party leader backed a motion in the Dáil calling for him to resign his seat? I mean, that surely showed Micheál Martin's attitude towards the mandate Michael Lowry had at this stage. So I suppose, again, what's changed?
Yeah, well, look, I suppose, look, time is on in every sense. And, you know, he's topped the poll again, I think, three times, if not more, since then. But look, it's not helpful for me to pass judgment on anyone or to get into, particularly in terms of individual TDs. I don't think it's fair to discuss their character on the radio. He's been elected by the people of his constituency and he has as much a mandate as I or Rose or anyone else on this table.
We're not going to relitigate the findings of the report. He refutes the findings of them, although he hasn't challenged them in court. And so the findings of that tribunal stand. But Rose Conway-Walsh, how many poll toppers do you have in your party?
I find that fairly amusing. Well, me anyway, and some of my colleagues, Mairead Farrell and some others, Piers Doherty, obviously, and others around the country.
You've called on Fianna Fáil to at least talk to Sinn Féin, or at least decried their unwillingness to talk to Sinn Féin.
But I find it fairly amusing, you know, in that every mandate has to be respected. But the 400,000 plus people who voted for Sinn Féin, there doesn't seem any necessity to respect that mandate at all from Fianna Fáil. And I think people are really judging for themselves in terms of what Micheál Martin has said about Michael Lowry in the past, and in terms of Sinn Féin. And people don't buy the thing that this is about policy. This is about jobs for the boys. This is about divvying up what's there for people. This is about
Sinn Féin requested Fianna Fáil to talk to them.
Yeah, my understanding is that they have, that Mary Lou has, but we have talked to other parties, obviously other parties with a similar policy platform to ourselves. But, you know, it seems like that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are just wedded together. And I do think it's a mistake for Fianna Fáil. That's their business. But I think it's a mistake. They've gone through a confidence and supply. They've gone through a coalition. Now they're going into another coalition. I cannot see in the future how Fianna Fáil can ever disentangle themselves from Fine Gael. And when the minister says about, you know, he's surprised somewhat that the policies are the same of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Of course, they're the same.
Referring to the Labour request from Jed Nash.
Yeah. Well, it might be taken as a given then that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are the same. So people are, but people voted for change, and a very, very significant number, 60 plus seats are for people who voted for change. And that's still there. And we will work for those people. And I just want to say to those people today, we have their backs in that.
Okay, I'll let you back in a second. John Paul O'Shea, you're on the Fine Gael negotiating team. Do you have any personal preference yourself as regard the outcome of any government formation talks?
No, Colm. You know, I think I'm very honoured and privileged to Taoiseach has appointed me to the negotiation team, and has set out a kind of a structure and schedule of how we will, I suppose, address different topics and potential chapters of the programme of government will be considered. When we've met with Fianna Fáil this week, and we will continue to meet with Fianna Fáil next week. And I know Taoiseach has met with all of the 8 independent members of the regional group, and has met with the leader of the Labour Party, and obviously the acting leader of the Social Democrats. And my understanding is they're happy to continue to engage on that basis, and we're happy to engage on policy on that basis also next week.
I think there's 9 members of the regional independent group now, though. But is the expectation that when those talks are being held, they are on behalf of all 9, and that all 9 would join together? Or is there a matter of squaring individual constituency concerns before knowing how many of the 9 you have?
Well, I don't think that we've got that far yet, to be fair. And I think, you know, our leader, Simon Harris, has met with 8 of the independent members. If there's 9 now, I'm sure we're quite happy to meet the 9th individual and bring forward, I suppose, their proposals and their issues of importance. But I suppose it is very much down to policy here in relation to how we can actually deliver a programme from government that delivers 5 budgets and 5 years of stable governance, which is the ultimate goal for Fine Gael, Colm.
Right, and that question I asked James Lawless at the outset about the interlocutor for the regional independence, Michael Lowry, the then Taoiseach Enda Kenny in 2011 also had strong words to say, but those strong words are now historic, are they?
Well, you know, I'm new to Dáil Éireann. I've been elected for the first time in the last number of weeks, so I think any individual that's elected is entitled to be spoken to.
Okay. Ray Cavanagh, you're a former General Secretary of the Labour Party. What's your understanding of Labour's appetite or willingness to go into government?
It appears at the moment that a few goodies, junior ministerial offices, are being thrown at the independents, and that maybe the government parties are going to take the easy and the lazy option and go with the independents. But Labour's position is that we would consider that that would produce a conservative and backward and Trumpian exclusionist government, and that there is another option, The Labour Party has very strong policy platforms. For example, a state house building agency, or maybe or including a major increase in the minimum wage for people who are living in poverty, even though they're working.
Right, but there is a concern within the Labour Party that whatever about their belief in the policy, there is a concern about the leverage they would exercise due to their numbers.
Yes, of course there is that. I mean, people do have to exercise the influence commensurate to the number of TDs that they have. But I think a lot of it depends on the personality of the ministers and of the leader and all that. And I've seen that over the last few years, different levels of influence with different party leaders. And I don't really think the Labour Party would be worried on that level. But Our goal is to have policies enacted by the new government that would be progressive and green and developmental and be good for the next 5 years for the country. If the country is going to sink into the quagmire of government supported and dependent on independence, it is not going to be good for the country.
Right. I suppose people say they talk about policy first and they look at portfolios second, but in order to drive through policy, people must be sitting in portfolios to make sure they're implemented and they're pulling the levers of state to see those policies through to completion. So what's your view on what would be an effective portfolio into which Labour might go if they were to enter government?
I don't know if I agree with you completely on that one. Certainly it is important to have ministers who are committed to particular policies, but if the direction of the government is towards a policy aim, then the government will drive that. I can't think of any examples in my head, but I know that has certainly happened in the past in governments that the Labour Party was involved in. For example, in the area of housing, in previous governments, except for one I can think of, the Labour Party always demanded a huge level of house building and had that seen through, not necessarily without a minister. Same would be in health. No, I don't agree with that necessarily. I think you get a policy in place. If you have the policy in place and a government commitment to it, then it can be done.
OK. James Lawless, the Dáil is going to sit on Wednesday. Who's going to be voted in as Ciarán Corlett? There's a number of candidates there. Verona Murphy's name has been mentioned and two candidates from Fianna Fáil. There's Sean O'Farrell and John McGuinness and Rose Conway-Walsh's colleague Angus O'Snodick, his name to go forward as well. So who do you think will be voted in?
So just before I get into that, I will answer that question, but just to take Ray's point, I mean, we could have a situation a little bit, you know, perhaps unusual, where you end up having Labour policies implemented without Labour having any ministers or seats in government. Because, as I say, I've looked at your manifesto, I've looked at the requests that came in to us, and there's a huge amount of common ground. Ramping up the big public transport projects, the metro, the DART pluses, etc. We're doing that. Ramping up offshore wind, tackle waiting lists around special needs, 5,000 extra hospital beds, that's in the NDP anyway, the DESH Plus scheme for education, just to take a sample of the top. So, you know, I know you're saying, Ray, that you maybe don't necessarily want or need ministers, but we could end up doing a lot of the stuff anyway and you'll be on the outside, you know, watching in. So I think that's unfortunate if that pans out. Just on Rose Conway's point.
That does sound like a preference.
Well, as like they have presented a list of policies. I've examined them, and I think I see huge ground. But if they don't want to be in for other political reasons, that's fine.
Okay, so on the Ciarán Corlett
point about, you know, respecting the man at the election, the bottom line is Sinn Féin lost 5.5%. That's the worst performance by an opposition party since 1945. Fianna Fáil gained 10 seats at the election.
Right, yeah. Still your third worst performance.
Yeah, okay, it's all relative.
And with all that, they still decide that they want Fine Gael to be in government for 20 years.
Okay, can we get that?
Micheál made a commitment in the election campaign that he wouldn't engage Sinn Féin for policy reasons, you know, anti-Europe, anti-enterprise, you don't support the model. Well, you've opposed every European referendum since the foundation of the state.
Critical engagement with the EU is not a Nigel Farage thing.
We're going to have one voice at a time. Ciarán Corlett, who's going to be elected Ciarán Corlett?
So look, the party is going to have, my party, look, I suppose the Ciarán Corlett position, the free vote on that and the secret ballot was introduced as part of the reforms of 2016. I think that was a good idea fundamentally to have a less strong whip on certain issues. And in my party, we've embraced that for things like abortion, euthanasia, and life issues more broadly. I think that's a more empowered Parliament is a good thing. In terms of the Cairn Cork position, we'll have a discussion. I think it's either on Monday or Tuesday, ahead of Wednesday, to see whether the party will have a directive. It won't be an order, but there may be a preference adopted. And look, that's very much up
and
in the air.
It could be Verona Murphy.
Look, there's four candidates, all of which would be fine holders of the chair, to be perfectly honest. I know all four, and I have respect for all four individuals, including, you know, both Angus and Verona and my own two party colleagues.
All right. How come your party's not minded to put forward a candidate?
Well, we haven't put forward a candidate yet, Colm, but I have no great insight in relation to who will be elected on Cairn Cork on Wednesday. But we have a parliamentary party meeting on Tuesday, and we will take further, go from there.
Okay, Rose Conway Walsh, I suppose it's a given you're backing Angus O'Snoghi in this.
Obviously, I think Angus O'Snoghi would make a great Cairn Cork, and it's a private ballot, and I hope people will make the right decisions around this.
Okay, Ray Kavanagh, can you see a government being formed next week?
Oh, I think next week would be a little bit too early now. I think there's no point in jumping the gun. There are a lot of things to be gone through. I do think that the Labour Party will be meeting with the two, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, next week. We have to see what will come of that. You'd never know. I mean, as I said earlier, it does look like the independents are going to be dragged in. But I think it's important for people to realise that with a proper policy platform, that the Labour Party would not shirk its responsibility if it was available from the two parties.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll let you go, Ray. You can check your text messages and see if you were on message there when you get out during the break. But we're going to look at the case of a half-built centre for children with additional needs in Kildare Town after this.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.